David Katz, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Thank you for asking. I could see you were stifling a giggle there, but okay, I'll handle that.
You know what? So the funny thing is that I've listened to this over and over again, and when I play it not on air, it's perfect.
Perfect. As soon as it goes onto air, it gets discordant.
There's something that sounds discordant on air, and I don't know what it is, but I can tell you, it's actually perfect. So I don't know what it is. I feel like it's that blue and gold dress. Is it blue or is it gold? What do you think, Zanati? Is that discordant or not?
No, it is definitely. Yeah.
It's off. There's something goes off. But I can tell you that I have spent, I can't tell you how many times, it's playing like, it on my computer to hear if there's something off, and there isn't.
It's like one of those songs that if you speed up, it starts making sense. Like Dolly Parton. If you speed
up. Oh, Dolly Parton always makes sense.
No. How once very you speed
dare
it up,
you?
It makes
how
sense.
Very dare maybe
we should,
you?
Maybe we should speed it up.
Dolly Parton.
No, the intro. The sting. What do you call it? The sting.
The sting. No, I don't think we're going to do that. Well, we've still got Jessica here in studio. Did you think that was discordant or not? That military intro.
I thought it was perfect, Howard.
There we go.
Okay. So there we go. That's it. Okay. We've been outvoted.
We're completely outvoted. Well, actually not really. But still. All right. It is 17 minutes past the hour of 8. A very, very good morning, Major David Katz. Thank you for coming into studio. We want to talk about dictators, and I want to talk about democracy and, if it is the model that always seems to work. I know my father always said to me, he thinks the best system. I mean, of course, I don't think it's a sound system, but he always says the best system is a benevolent dictator.
A benevolent dictator.
A benevolent dictator. That's his phraseology, and he likes the concept of a benevolent dictator. The only problem is that there are very few of those, aren't there?
There's a lot of dictators. I'm trying to think. You've made me think. Are there benevolent ones? I was immediately thinking about Rwanda, but that's not really a benevolent dictator over there. That's somebody hiding behind a so-called democracy.
Right.
But
well, you see, when you pretend him,
he's a dictator. I mean, he's been there for way too long. So is he benevolent? I suppose in a way he is. We had another one recently. We're in Kazakhstan. That's been there for many, many years. I think the question you're asking me is democracy suited for everybody?
Right.
Western style democracy, does it work if you try and export it into certain countries? And I'd say to you, no, there's certain countries that just don't thrive on Western style democracy. Let's take Afghanistan for example, where the Americans tried to install a Western style type of democratic government into there, and it's just not flying. It doesn't work.
But what's the alternative? Is there an alternative?
Well, let's look at China. Let's take China for instance. That's certainly not a democracy.
Certainly not.
And it's certainly not benevolent.
And there's certainly a tremendous amount of curtailments, not freedoms. There's no freedom of the press. There's very, 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 very strict rules about everything.
It's not an open society, and it's not an open economy by any means. But it's certainly a success story. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they have managed to transform the economy over the last 40 years from a backwater, an absolute backwater, to the second largest economy in the world with one of the largest growth rates, and set in a few years' time to become the largest economy. So it's certainly the non-democracy has worked for China to a certain extent. And if you walk around, there are people particularly unhappy with their government in China. I'd say to you, no, they're not. They must probably be particularly happy with it.
Well, they I don't think they have the ability to say, quite honestly. I'll never forget one of my earlier trips to China, and I mentioned this, I think, in my first book, is that one of the things that astounded me is we were sitting with our staff, who were all from Beijing, and we were talking about this concept of being limited to having one child only.
Yes.
And I asked the question, but what if you want more than one child? And the answer was, but we're not allowed more than, we only allowed one child.
Yes.
And I said, but what if you want to? And this concept of this is what I want versus this is what the government says was absolutely, if the government said it, then I didn't want it.
They had no faculty to interrogate the law.
Correct.
Neither was
even
there
to
desire.
Ask the question.
There wasn't even a desire to do that. So, they seem to be from the outset a pretty regimented society.
Right.
But it's certainly working. And I don't know. I've never And I see a lot of, because I frequent Dennis Avenue, the Chinese restaurants over there, and I've never met mainland Chinese that are unhappy.
Yeah, because they're not in China. Look where they've chosen to live, in Cyril Dean.
In Cyril Dean.
Yes.
In Cyril Dean. So I don't know. I think they're a pretty happy bunch, and I think their economy works, and I think their country works. I honestly believe that.
Yeah,
and
but you can't tell that to all the people that are locked up without trial.
No, there's a lot of those.
I was in China during the visiting China during the Arab Spring.
Yes.
And it had started in Egypt, and there was all the stuff going on in Egypt. And a friend of mine that I'd bumped into there said to me, "Google the word Egypt on your computer." You write in the word Egypt, you hit enter, and it says cannot be found. They wiped off Egypt in case it inspired people to a revolution. So this is absolutely somewhat problematic.
To our minds, Howard, we come from an open society,
mm-hmm.
and we come from an open economy. So if pretty much everything goes here with the freedom of press, etc.
Right.
To our mind, we can't grasp anything less than a full democracy.
Right.
We can't grasp anything
less. No, it is very hard for us to. But it doesn't mean it doesn't work, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying, has it worked in certain, let's try and find examples of where it hasn't worked.
Mm.
Let's look at Iraq, for example, where they've tried to install a democracy over there. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. In fact, when they removed Saddam Hussein, they dismantled a whole balance of power, a whole system,
a whole structure, a whole hierarchy, yeah.
And it's put that whole area into total chaos. It's people who just can't thrive under democracy because they resort back to tribalism. So where you've got strong tribalism, a strong religion, in the background, does Western style democracy work in those instances? And I just don't believe it does. I don't think people want it either.
So what is the alternative?
For example,
Iraq is a complicated one simply because there didn't appear to be weapons of mass destruction, but yet Saddam Hussein was certainly no pleasant personality, and he was killing people who disagreed with him. He was running a very, very autocratic and vicious dictatorship.
Certainly.
So that aside, so then you remove Saddam Hussein from that position in order to give people a little bit more freedom. What then? Are you meant to find another kinder Saddam Hussein? Like I can't understand how it works if you don't opt for some form of democratic process.
It's a difficult one for us to grasp,
right.
Because of our background. But did he need to be removed in the first place? Was he removed for the right reasons? Did he need to be removed? Or was it up to the people of that country to remove their own leadership?
Well, it's very hard
if
they're being locked up and killed if they disagree with him.
But is it up to the West to come along there?
Well, the West is horribly hypocritical because there were other factors with regard to Iraq in terms of oil that were important. When it came to Syria, nobody really bothered. When it came to Rwanda and the genocide there, because there was nothing to be offered, nobody got involved, and 800,000 people were murdered.
Exactly. So there's no economic incentive to.
Correct.
So
it's not as though the West has a meticulous record either.
No, absolutely, it doesn't have a meticulous record, and they pursue economic aims over humanitarian aims, and that's been proved time and time again. You ask for an example of a country that's not particularly suited to a Western style democracy, and we've discussed this before. I would say to you, Russia is a typical country that most probably doesn't welcome a Western style democracy. They're more interested in getting the economy going, a la the Chinese sort of version, and they're more interested in regaining some of the prestige that they've lost when they were the Soviet Union. Mm. So they don't mind having this Putin-Medvedev swap that goes on. And having I wouldn't even call him a benevolent dictator, but I mean, he certainly has been installed under the guise of democracy.
Jonathan says, would Rouhani from Iran and Erdogan from Turkey be examples of benevolent dictators? No, I don't think so.
No.
Michael from Gallo Manor says, my history teacher told us that 50 years ago, a benevolent dictatorship is the best, but his nickname was Nappy, so we didn't take him seriously.
Yeah, I'm still trying to think of an example of a... benevolent dictatorship. Do you have one? I mean,
Donald Trump
is there. Let's not go there.
You know what? Please do not SMS me on 34519, and please do not because I just really was joking. Honestly, I was really, really joking. Please don't take me seriously. The Chinese culture of humility and being subservient over thousands of years has led to China today. There are still Chinese alive today who lived through the years of starvation and thus accept the little that they have. I strongly doubt that the majority of Chinese are happy, just that they accept the new generation have suppressed else, although a revolt against the Chinese government. That is from Mike Luber. It is strange, because are there any, you know, can we think of successful democracies on the African continent?
Well, certainly South Africa is a very, very successful democracy. I was having this conversation the other day with quite a prominent person, and we were speaking about South Africa. It's an amazing...
I don't recall us talking about this.
No. Touché. Okay. You had me there for a moment. And we're a highly successful democracy in Africa, and it's probably the only one. We've had, am I right in saying this, 5 different presidents so far?
Mm-hmm. This is
five different elections.
5 elections, yes.
5 elections, a strong constitution, a bill of rights, freedom of the press. I mean, we can't complain in this country about it. We certainly are a democracy over here.
Right.
And that's been tested on a number of times. And speaking about the military also, what role does the military have in these democracies? I mean, that's also a sign of what the strength of your democracy. And certainly in South Africa, the military has taken a back seat to the democratic process. They're no longer in the fore. And the military has played a huge role in the establishment of democracy in this country. I mean, back in the day in the early 1990s, the military told the politicians to go and sort it out. When they were asked to intervene, the military on a number of occasions were asked to intervene, and they actually turned around and said, you know what, to the politicians, go and sort it out politically, go and find a political solution. So we're very, very lucky here that we haven't had this type of military, strong military intervention by the military. And the military in this country also performs a socio-economic role, which is also a sign of the strength of democracy. So, yeah, we're a great example of a democracy.
Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. And if you do want to find out more about our own democratic process, the last few seats are available for the South African Jewish Board of Deputies Great Debate. That's on Thursday, the 11th of April at 7:30 at the Cyril Harris Community Center. Renowned author and journalist Mandy Wiener will pose pertinent questions to the leaders of 5 prominent political parties on the night. Seating is limited, but don't despair. The event will also be broadcast live here on Chai FM from 7 p.m. Details of the event can be found on the South African Jewish Board of Deputies social media pages and on their website. Time is 8:28. You've heard about the Pick and Pay appeal, where Pick and Pay Hyper Norwood were asking you to help find a needy family in the community who Pick and Pay Hyper Norwood reward with 1,500 rand to spend in store on food for Pesach. Well, we're pleased to tell you that the first family has received their voucher. If you know of a family who is going through financial difficulties and could do with a little bit of a Pesach present from Pick and Pay Hyper Norwood, please email a motivating letter to info@chaifm.com. It's the time of freedom. You can help to bring freedom to. That is The Crossing, Friends of Johnny Clegg. It is at 35. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. Number of messages. Mervyn says, does South Africa think Israel will shed any tears about the downgrade of the embassy? It probably won't even feature in Israeli media. It actually has featured in Israeli media. And I don't think it's a very good thing, because it unfortunately can pave the way for others to follow. So I do think it's significant, even for Israel. Certainly it's not something that we should shrug off. South African democracy has led to one of the highest crime rates and murder in the world, with private defense networks far greater than the police force. Massive government corruption has taken its place. The ANC is almost autocratic with its protection of its ranks. The average worker fears the taxi system and township living. This is not a democracy. So your thoughts on David Katz, your thoughts on that? Well, it is a democracy. The fact is that it might not be running particularly well, but it is a democracy.
No, but I think we're getting confused between corruption and nepotism and bad governance and democracy. We certainly have a democracy. What are the signs of democracies? Is your constitution, your Bill of Rights? The are the elections fairly contested? Is there a freedom of press, which there is? Is there freedom of speech? Can you say whatever you want? And certainly all these things, we tick all the boxes on that at the end of the day. I'm not going to sit here and deny that we have governance problems and corruption problems and crime problems, but is that a function of democracy?
Well, I tell you what does bother me, and it was only highlighted again this weekend, is when you look at our penchant for supporting dictators. You know, we've had the situation with Gaddafi, we've had it with Bashar al-Assad, that where he was spirited out the country, and now we're hearing, in fact, that there's, according to reports, and we don't have proof of it, but reports are suggesting that Gaddafi's $30 million was hidden in Nkandla. Maybe that's why they needed such a big fire pool.
You can't make this up.
You cannot make it up, and now it's made its way to Swaziland. Now, that is not a supporter of democracy. That is a supporter of dictatorships.
Well, I think, you know what, we have a foreign policy which most probably does not sit well with people who are used to the old style government that we had over here. We were certainly West leaning prior to our democracy, certainly West leaning, and we thought that we were the bastion, the last bastion of white Christian values in Africa. Now, with the fall of the apartheid regime, this country certainly realigned itself, and sometimes we're not congruent with what the West wants us to do. So we followed a more middle path, and certainly we have relationships with countries outside of the traditional West where we used to look at. Think about BRICS, for instance. So we have close ties with India, we have close ties with the non-aligned movement, we have close ties with China, and we also have ties with some of these despotic regimes that you talk about. But we're not the only ones that have ties with despotic regimes. America is not blameless in having ties with despotic regimes. And nor is Israel, for that matter of fact, is that they've supported some hairy regimes in the past also. So we can cast aspersions about who we support, but is that any indication of our democracy at the end of the day? I don't believe that.
Well, I guess that is true, because you can't function in the world even as a democracy.
Real politics.
And not deal with countries that aren't. It just is unfortunately an impossibility.
We're not alone. What I'm saying to you is we're not alone.
Yes, but there's dealing with
relations.
Yes,
with
but there's dealing with them, and there is protecting them and hiding their stolen loot.
Oh yes, definitely.
No, you know, I would say that there's most definitely a difference.
There's no ways that you can try and defend an indefensible thing. And certainly we've made some bad decisions. Especially with the Sudanese premier that was spirited out of the country. And then we withdrew from,
the criminal court, from the Rome statute.
Yeah, we tried to. I hope we haven't withdrawn from
that.
We tried to. And that was
yeah,
only
once we got caught, then we said, we want to withdraw from that.
Yeah, no, certainly. That's
our behavior.
That's hypocritical and not good. No, that's indefensible. Absolutely.
Right. So, but we are a democracy, and certainly it's the best system we've got, and it seems to be the best system there is.
For us, certainly it's worked in South Africa. It certainly seems to be the best system, and to a certain extent we have thrived under it. I mean, we've redressed the huge imbalances that were present in 1994. A lot of those imbalances, we forget about that, is that we have redressed a lot of them. There's still a long way to go, and unfortunately, we've taken a couple of steps backwards over the last few years. But certainly the system has worked for us. I can't think of any other system that would have been able to deliver what it's delivered. Let's forget about the high crime rates at this stage of the game. Is that in 1994, it was a criminal society. So we've got a lot of crime in our society now, but certainly we've moved on from being a criminal society. So, and we have democracy to thank for that.
Interesting. So I came across a story on BBC this morning, which I think is reflective of what goes on there. A British woman faces Dubai jail over Facebook horse insult. Zanati, listen to this story. A British woman is facing 2 years in jail in Dubai for calling her ex-husband's new wife a horse on Facebook.
Yeah. I've said that about so many people.
Do not go to Dubai.
Facebook. No.
Yeah, don't say.
Do not go to Dubai.
Don't go to Dubai. I mean, that's absolutely frightening. That is just frightening.
She faces a Londoner, Leila Shaharevesh, 55 years old, was arrested at the airport in Dubai after flying there to attend her former husband's funeral. It's actually the most terrible story. She faces prosecution over two Facebook comments she posted on pictures of her husband remarrying when he remarried in 2016. The Foreign Office said it was supporting the mother of one. Mm. She was married to her ex-husband for 18 years, during which time she lived in UAE for 8 months, according to the campaign group. While she returned to the UK with her daughter, her husband stayed in the UAE and the couple got divorced. She then discovered that her ex-husband was remarrying, and when she saw photos of the new couple on Facebook, she posted, she posted comments in Farsi, including one that says, "I hope you got under the ground, you idiot. And you left me for that horse."
Oh, spicy.
That's pretty mild.
I think so too. Under the UAE, I mean, what would happen to Tony Ngeni when he's alluding to necklacing? She posted, under the UAE cyber crime laws, a person can be jailed and fined for making defamatory statements on social media. So she could be sentenced to 2 years. The husband's ex-wife, who lives in Dubai, reported her. And the sad, terrible thing was she was with a 14-year-old daughter who then had to fly home alone. Wow. Now, don't forget, this girl has just lost her father. She's now, her mother's now in detention in Dubai. She had to fly home alone. The chief executive of Detained in Dubai told BBC News that both organizations and the Foreign Office has asked the complainant to withdraw the allegation, but she has refused. What a cow. Oh, not even a horse.
Honestly.
So, both. I mean, what a horrible...
Howard, don't go to Dubai. Do me a favor.
Well, I didn't say it on social media. I said it on mainstream media. But, I mean, it's terrible. They said that Miss Shaharevesh was absolutely distraught. It's going to take her a long time to recover from this, but and her daughter is in hell. All she wants to do is to be reunited with her mother.
Just for calling someone a horse.
Yeah. Just for calling somebody else. Maybe she meant like a stallion, a prize horse.
Do you know what I mean?
You're a thoroughbred. Mm. You left me for that thoroughbred.
For
I
that
get
beautiful,
it. Beautiful. Beautiful thoroughbred. I don't know. Wow. I think, wow.
With beautiful hair and, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.